All right, welcome in. It is Big Blue Kickoff Live, and as always on Wednesday, Anita Marks, David Deal, and you, Big Blue Nation, 201-939-4513. That's the phone number. That's how you get on board. Also, make sure you are sending us your tweets. Is the camera okay? Is that better? Was I out of the scene? What was going on there?
I don't know. We need to get in camera right now. Get in focus here.
Yeah, I think we're
big
better.
Week.
Are we good now?
Now we are.
Okay.
We're always good, but now we're in focus here with the camera.
Hashtag Giants Chat. That is how you tweet us. I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and I will share your tweets on air as well. And, yes, a big week. Giants are 2-0, and a lot to be excited about. I don't think a number of people thought that the Giants would start so well, 2-0. Granted, you know, they were close games. I did believe that the Giants were going to win by at least 10 points against a Saints secondary that had a very inexperienced crew, but that wasn't the case. Didn't score a touchdown, an offensive touchdown, as we know. They scored a defensive touchdown, but, you know, it was interesting. Heading into that game, I did a number of hits on a number of radio shows. And one of the biggest questions that was posed to me was, who has more pressure going into this game? Is it Eli Manning in the offense, or is it on the defensive side of the ball? And I said, hands down, the defensive side of the ball. Last year, as we know, 101 total points. Jerry Reese's organization goes out. They spend all this money on the defensive side of the ball. And so this is a very explosive offense, the Saints, that they're going up against. And sure enough, listen, at the end of the day, you know, they delivered.
They did.
They delivered.
At the end of the day, even though it may not be pretty, it's still a W on the win column to start off 2-0 against a Saints team. And to be able to do it that way with having three turnovers and the defense performing the way that they did to hold and stop the running game of the New Orleans Saints and to hold Breeze to what they did, I mean, that is a tremendous accomplishment. And the biggest thing for me is, the New York Giants are definitely getting their return on investment on what they spend on the defensive side of the ball. But the biggest factor is how they're playing. To have so many new pieces come in and to play so well together and form an identity this early, that's always a tough thing when you have new players coming in, trying to fit into the system, trying to feel how it's going to work out for them. And it's been seamless the way that this defense has been able to rally around each other. The game plans that Steve Spagnuolo has been coming up with for the team. And, I mean, it's been very, very awesome to see the way that the defense has performed, flying to the football, swarming outside, Janoris Jenkins, Apple, providing that run support. That's the biggest thing that you need to do in this game defensively. If you can stop a team from effectively running the football, even when Drew Brees is the quarterback, it takes away so much from an offensive game plan that they have to take back from. So from the defensive side of the ball, very impressive. Offensive side of the ball, the drops. Larry Donnell, Odell Beckham Jr., those are touchdowns. So there's your 14 points when you thought it would be 10 more points. Not to mention, did an unbelievable job running the football against the Dallas Cowboys, against the New Orleans Saints, only averaged 2 yards a carry. That is going to be something that needs to be fixed and is going to be absolutely huge in this game up against the Washington Redskins in order for the offense to produce and play the way that they're capable of and to allow Steve Spagnuolo's defense to be more aggressive and to put Kirk Cousins in a difficult situation where he has to force throws and which can create takeaways for the defensive side of the ball.
Let me ask you this, because it's interesting. I think you really hit on something, and that is definitely the chemistry. Do you feel that a big reason why defensively these guys have come together and their chemistry has worked out is because there are so many new faces? It's not like you just have like two new guys that are coming in and you've already kind of got your core leaders in the locker room, and then those two new guys have to learn how to gel and have to. It's kind of like there's been, like, with Olivier Vernon and Snacks and Jack Rabbit and Keenan Robinson.
Eli Apple and Keenan Robinson.
I feel because there are so many new guys that have come on this roster, also rookies that are starting, like Eli Apple and
yes.
Darian Thompson.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like it's not like so I guess my analogy is it's not like the first day of school where you're joining a class that's already been together for 3 months. It's like it's literally the first day of school when you make that jump from junior high to high school. Right?
Yeah.
Or elementary to junior high. It's like everybody's – you walk in and like everybody's on the same page. The cliques haven't been established yet. So I think that plays a really big role into why this defense has been gelling.
I think that does play a big role into it because of the fact that they were all starting off together and forming a new identity for this defense because, let's face it, when you come to a team as a free agent, and the team was one of the worst defenses in the league last year, as a competitor, as an athlete, you want to be a part of the turnaround. You love to be in the face of adversity and to be part of something that turns around and says, you may say that we were something last year, but this is a new season, this is a new year, and if we work together and stick together, that we're going to be a part of the solution and part of something that turns a weakness into a strength. And I think Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, also has such a huge part in it because you've seen the way that he talks to players. He's such a motivator. He is such a leader that you could really tell through training camp that they really started to mesh together. They believed in one another. They're accountable to one another. So it's phenomenal to see the way that they're playing.
All right, 201-939-4513. A lot of people want to jump on board just to bring you up to speed. Giants right now, they're practicing. As soon as practice is over, Ben McAdoo is going to address the media around 1:30. Don't forget, you've got David Deal as well as Paul Dottino, who has the press conference live show that you can watch on MSG. That's a little bit later on this afternoon. At 1:45, locker room opens up. Players will be made available to the media. And wow, there are a lot of media here. I'll tell you what, I couldn't find a parking space today. I mean, I had to park like God knows where.
I don't think they're going to be talking about the Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman stuff.
No,
whatsoever.
I don't think that's a hot topic this week. Maybe something else. But there are a ton of media people here. So obviously, I mean, going into week three, this is a game, Giants in Washington, Josh Norman, Odell Beckham Jr., that people have had not just penciled in, but pinned in on their calendar. And this is going to be the talk today into Thursday, Friday, Saturday, of course, all day on Sunday. And it will be interesting. And this is the most intriguing thing. And I can't wait. I haven't seen Paul Dottino yet. I'm going to sit down with him this afternoon because he's such a stats guy, right?
Yes.
But Josh Norman came out earlier this week when he was getting all the criticism about not manning up on Antonio Brown, right? Which, by the way, he stayed on the left side of the field. And he
you
did
mean
not
against Dez Bryant.
Against Dez Bryant, he stayed,
okay.
But he got all the criticism about not manning up on Antonio Brown. This week against Dallas, he did stay on the left side of the field. Towards the end of the game, he started to shadow Dez, but not towards the end of the game. FYI,
in the beginning, it was because what were Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant doing? They were on the other side and they were attacking Bashaud Breeland.
So what it was funny what Josh Norman said was, hey, listen, my office is on the left side of the field from Sunday from 1 to 4. Come visit whenever you want. So what I want to do today, I'm going to sit down with Paul Dottino and I want to sit down. He's gone back and he's looked at a lot of the film and I want to find out what is the percentage of plays that Odell Beckham Jr. lines up on the left side of the field? Because we know Ben McAdoo puts him all over the place.
Yes.
So that's one stat, and I know I can get it from PDOT. That's one stat that I'm so intrigued by. I really I think that's going to be very telling in regard to kind of give us an idea. And granted, yes. I mean, we could look at the stats and say, okay, well, you know, he lines up on the left. It's pretty much he's all over the place. It's 48% of the time Odell is on the left side of the field. Maybe that changes this week because, you know, of the game plan, whatever the case may be. But I'm curious.
How many times will he be Odell Beckham on the right hand side where it will be one on one with Josh Norman?
Yeah, I want to know that stat. I want to know what's the probability. Like what is the percentage that he lines up on that side of the field that we can anticipate a Odell Josh Norman matchup. I think that's going to be intriguing. So, but obviously there's some other storylines in regard to Washington. Look, you heard Keenan Robinson talk to the media yesterday. He said, listen, this is a Washington team that's 0-2, and when this happens in that locker room, they start pointing fingers at one another. Now you got Kirk Cousins, who, and I like the fact that he invested in himself, but obviously it's not working out for him. And now, allegedly, there's players and teammates in that locker room that are saying that
they want Colt McCoy.
That he's not playing to his potential. He's missing open guys. His velocity's not there. His targeting isn't right on. So, you know, is this the game that he tries to correct it? I'm sure he's going to do everything he can to try to correct it. But this is, as we've been talking about, a Giants defense that is much improved. I think it's going to be a long day for Kirk Cousins. I think it's going to be a long day for their offense. But obviously the biggest storyline, David, is Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman.
I know, and that's going to be the biggest storyline. But I think that this is such a huge game for both teams, not only for the New York Giants to now be able to win this football game on Sunday and then to go not only 3-0 but 2-0 in the division and put themselves right in the front of the pack. Or, if you look at the other side, that this is a must-win football game for the Washington Redskins, and it's only week 3. And it goes to show you how important it is to start fast. And you talked about Kirk Cousins, and it is a big question. What's going to happen? How the team is going to rally around him? I'll tell you this. As somebody who's been in the locker room, who played 11 seasons, once you have those sources and all that stuff only divides a football team, because then you're wondering who said it, where is it coming from, when this is a time in week 2 where you should be rallying around your teammate, because you still have 14 games left on this season. And if you start pointing fingers now, it's not helping in any way, shape, or form. So it is going to be very important to see how they play this game, how the defense of the New York Giants match up and they play up against Kirk Cousins, because he did. He threw for 364 and a touchdown, but the red zone errors, they were 2 for 6. He threw that awful interception right in the middle of the end zone. He threw a short hop to the right-hand side of the field. I mean, those are things that when you bring in a veteran quarterback like that who bet on himself, you're expecting and you want as a team him to make those throws, but he is not.
How about this? And our producer just sent this to us. I guess this just broke on Twitter about 40 minutes ago. I apologize for not being on top of this, but apparently Britt McHenry, who covers Washington and also covers the Carolina Panthers, is reporting that Josh Norman will go, quote-unquote, anywhere Odell goes except for the slot in Sunday's matchup against the Giants.
Well, there you have it.
Yep.
But once again, we will see if that really takes place. He's done it in the past. Josh Norman has played and shadowed players before. You know, he said his office is on the left side, and he's doing what the scheme asks him to do as a football player. But for their defense, they need to do something. But what does that do? That opens up opportunities not only for the Giants' offense to predicate how they're going to use Odell Beckham Jr. to open up things for Victor Cruz and Sterling Shepard. But also, what does it do? Moving Odell Beckham Jr. into different positions on the field only allows you to open up things in your running game. Because if it's not Josh Norman and you put him in the slot and they bracket a safety over to get help, that's when you're looking for plays to cut up or cut back because of where the safety is at. So it's going to be very important for Ben McAdoo and Coach Sullivan to come up with a game plan that they can schematically figure out and get the tells of what the Washington Redskins are going to do defensively based upon where Josh Norman is and where Odell Beckham Jr. is.
Now, keep in mind, we're going to get your calls in just a hot second. 201-939-4513. Some interesting stats here. The Giants play in a 3-wide receiver set almost every play. Odell, Shep, I'm calling him Shep.
Shep.
I like that.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And Cruz, I mean, Sterling Shepard. I mean, just let's go with Shep. I mean, we know who we're talking about by now. Each played at least 94% of the snaps. Now, targets, okay, through 2 games. Odell has 19. Cruz and Shep have 12. Vereen has 8, Larry Donnell has 7, Will Tye has 6, Rashad Jennings has 4. So the ball's being spread around a lot more this season. Odell averaged 10.6 targets a game last year, down to 9.5 so far this year. Just FYI.
Yeah,
but that's
not a surprise.
No.
That targets are getting spread, because if you think about last year offensively, outside of Odell Beckham Jr., it was Reuben Randall and Dwayne Harris. And Dwayne Harris would step up, but it wasn't consistent, and he was banged up. And Reuben Randall in games was non-existent. Now you're talking about Victor Cruz and Sterling Shepard, who are producing. They are making plays, so it is only helping this offense continue to thrive. And the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. is out there is giving them their one-on-one matchup. So if they continue to move around and use Victor Cruz and use Sterling Shepard to where they're making plays, it's only going to open up things for them, but also for the offense.
All right, let's go to your calls. Aaron in Rochester, you're first up today, Wednesday, on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome in.
Hello, how you doing, guys? I thank y'all for everything y'all done for the show and giving us a voice to speak. But I want to thank Reese for everything he done. Like, I know he took a lot of backlash with the fans and everything, but I think he did a great job. But I wanted to ask, do the Breezes, the Bradys, do they call their own plays sometimes? Or the offensive coordinators call their plays? Because to me, I think I would think the quarterback should call some of their plays. I think maybe, you know, Eli could be real good at calling his own plays certain times. You know, do they do that?
Yes. Thank you for the phone call. Really appreciate it. From what I understand, Ben McAdoo calls it. He calls in a play, and then out of that one formation, Eli then can decide if he wants it to be a pass or a run out of that formation. From what I understand.
So certain quarterbacks do. Not all quarterbacks do. You have to earn the right to have the ability to change and be flexible to where you can put your team and your offense in a favorable position. A lot of times you'll have a two-play sequence. Yada, 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 alert this. So if it's not this, you can alert to the second play. But also, they have plays and checks that the offensive coordinator, Coach McAdoo, and Eli all go through certain formations, certain defenses, certain coverages that allows Eli himself to make the checks at the line of scrimmage, whether it's a check to a run, if they're playing in a deep coverage, or if it's check to a pass, if it's an eight-man box. Eli Manning has that flexibility. And for me, that's something in my career was one of the greatest things and one of the greatest assets that Eli Manning has as a quarterback. His preparation, his knowledge of the offense allows him to go up to the line of scrimmage and dictate what they want to do as an offense.
201-939-4513. Let's continue with some calls, and we'll get to your tweets in just a minute. Fred in South Carolina, you're on board. Welcome.
Hi, I'm a big fan of the show. And
Fred, you there? Oh, unfortunately, we lost Fred. Fred, if you can, please call back. Sorry that we lost you. Let's go to Georgia. Robert wants to talk about the Redskins. Robert, you're on board. Welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
All right. First of all, I want to thank David for his years playing with the Giants. David
thank
was actually
you.
A great player for us and did a lot of good things. And I just want to thank him for that.
I appreciate that.
I want to start off with the Redskins. I think that this is actually a big game for us because we can actually go up 2-0 in the division and take, like, a command lead. As far as Odell, I don't know, because I think he had dropped a few passes, too. I don't know what's really going on with him. I think he dropped a few passes on the game we played with Dallas. Plus, you know, he dropped a couple of passes, I think, with the Saints, too. So I don't know really what's going on with him. So, and I think that he's going into the Redskins game, going against Josh Norman, that I hope that he actually matured a little bit and we won't have to go through what we did last season when they played the Panthers. That's pretty much it, man. I just wanted to say I think we're going to actually win this game, so it's going to be a good year for us this year.
Thank you for the phone call.
And in regards to Odell Beckham Jr., in regards to last game against the Carolina Panthers and now facing up against Josh Norman again, I definitely think that he's learned from that game. I think that he won't let Josh get under his skin like he did last season. And I think that when you look back at that football game, the times that he was lined up against Josh Norman, Odell Beckham Jr. won those battles. He won at the line of scrimmage. He was open. He had the inside breaking route. He had the game-tying touchdown. I think that this is going to be a different game and a different mentality for Odell. In regards to the drops, yes, he had the drop that was a touchdown this past game against the New Orleans Saints. I think that he will bounce back from that.
201-939-4513. We go to Armando calling in from Florida. Armando.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi.
Great, Armando.
Just want to commend you, David Deal. I always love talking to my Giant players, so thank you so much for that great Super Bowl win right there.
Thank you.
Now, I just want to talk about that last game with the Saints a little bit right now. If Danelle wouldn't have dropped that pass and Beckham wouldn't have dropped the two passes in the end zone and then Victor Cruz when the fumble pretty much towards the end zone, I mean, we'll be looking at, you know, three touchdowns possibly. And I see our defense is eighth in the league right now and the NFL. And, I mean, going back to last year, what we had before, I'm really psyched to see our defense at eighth right now in the league. Our offense is not so good. We're at 26 right now in the league right now. But and I'm a little worried. I don't know what happened to I don't know if BD's going to step in for Marshall Newhouse because, you know, he had a twist of his ankle or something like that. So I don't know if he's going to jump in. But I've seen that the penalties in the last two games, we only had 3.5 penalties in the last two games. I mean, you can just see the offensive line already gelling already. So I can see improvement in that. Time management, I can see that we're doing way better than what we did normally I think last year we would have probably went forward to try to score and something would have happened. So I'm really excited to see what happened this year with Ben McAdoo running the clock down to just kick an easy field goal. I seen that Sterling Shepard, he had 12 targets, but he had 11 receptions. This guy does not drop the ball. So I'm very, very excited about Shepard. I also have him on my fantasy league. And if you don't mind, Anita, I know you're all about fantasy, so if you don't mind, I'd like to read up my lineup for you.
Sure, go ahead.
I have Eli Manning, of course, and Odell Beckham. I have here D'Angelo Williams, Dez Bryant, Ryan Matthews, Delanie Walker, Julian Edelman, Novak, the kicker from Houston. They've been putting up a lot of points. The Giants' defense, Baltimore's defense, Charles Sims, the running back, Jamal Charles, the running back, Steve Smith Sr., and then I picked up McKinnon, the running back, as soon as Peterson got hurt. I just want to say a shout-out, and then I'm going to let you guys go. I didn't really have any questions. I just wanted to just vent a little bit with my Giants fans. Just a shout-out to the people that actually make all the videos on the Giants app. I mean, they do a great job with all the insiders, the Landon Collins and all the players, and it really makes it exciting for all the Giants fans, you know, to get on there and get the inside of what the Giants are really doing. So thank you guys so much for hearing me out, and go Blue.
You got it, Armando. Thank you. Thank you for watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Interesting. Did you hear Julian Edelman is the backup quarterback
yes.
this week?
Yes. Yeah, we know that he played that at Kent State.
Mm-hmm.
He has that background. So we'll see what happens with Kobe Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo. But, yeah, I mean, if Julian Edelman goes in there and you have him in fantasy, get ready for the Wildcat.
Right.
I mean, that's something that they've practiced before. You've heard Bill O'Brien, now the head coach of the Houston Texans, talk about how they practiced that with Julian when he was in New England. And actually, it's quite interesting because last season, the Houston Texans ran the Wildcat offensively to get their running game going. So Julian Edelman, it could be a wild card and an X factor for fantasy this week for you. So we'll see what happens in that game tomorrow night.
So now, again, Britt McHenry, who covers the Washington Redskins as well as the Carolina Panthers for ESPN, is reporting that Josh Norman is going to shadow Odell Beckham Jr. everywhere on the field except when he lines up in the slot. So now I'm getting questions. Do you play Odell Beckham Jr. in fantasy or not?
It's a great question. And like I said, last year, when you look at that game and you look at the matchups, you know, even though he lost his cool, Odell Beckham Jr. was open, and he was winning that battle of the one-on-one. So even though he may be shadowing him, I still see Odell Beckham Jr. as a competitor and making plays in this football game.
This is from Dre Day 2014. Why does Odell need to mature? Norman was the one who initiated all the crazy behavior. Odell is great because of his intensity.
I'm not saying that he needs to mature, but you could tell it took Odell Beckham Jr. out of his game. And that was all Josh Norman wanted to do. He wanted to get under his skin. So even though I understand what you're saying, because I said it when it happened last year, if he retaliated, it was wrong what he did. If he didn't retaliate at all, people would have said that Odell Beckham Jr. was all talk and then he wouldn't back it up. So either way, it would have been a lose-lose for Odell Beckham Jr. I just know and I completely believe that this is going to be a different game for him. I think that he's going to keep his head regardless of what happens with Josh Norman. And what's the best way to silence somebody? Performing and scoring touchdowns. I mean, plain and simple.
Also, keep in mind, I mean, go back and look at that game. The Giants were down, what, 4 touchdowns? They had to go to the passing attack, and it was all Odell Beckham Jr. He single-handedly, I believe, was the one who helped them get back into that game.
No doubt.
And I don't anticipate that same type of game. I don't anticipate Washington to go up by 3 or 4 touchdowns where this is a team that's going to have to air it out. I mean, if there's one thing we've learned in the first 2 weeks is Ben McAdoo is that he likes an even attack. He's still committed to the run. Even when the run isn't working in certain series, he's going to come out the next series and he's still going to stay committed to it. So I think you're going to see this team still stay committed to the run. And then, as you said earlier, last year it was Reuben Randle. Now it's Victor Cruz and Sterling Shepard. So,
not to mention,
I think the
Carolina
dynamic
defense was much better than the Washington Redskins defense currently.
I just think the dynamic is going to be much different this game.
I do too.
AJ Marshall wants to know, do you think Landon Collins' pass coverage has improved from year one to year two?
I think that it has, and I think it's still a work in progress that he's going to continue to get better. I just think with Thompson and Burhey and the back, the rotation of those three has been nothing but a good thing with the flexibility that Steve Spagnuolo and the way that he's been able to use them. Also, I think it's allowed Landon Collins to play much more aggressive, and I think he's made a huge turnaround from year one to year two.
All right, this is from Giants 631. Who do you think will have the first interception of the year for the Giants defense, assuming that it happens this week against Washington? Giants 631 thinks that it's going to be Eli Apple. I think it's going to be Dominic Rogers-Cromartie.
I think it's going to be DRC, too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be DRC. E, the Chosen One, says, please touch on the rookies Apple, Shepard, and Thompson, how they've impressed you both so far.
Well, we've talked about Shepard, the way that he's played, the way that he's performed and walked in as a rookie like a professional and handled himself that way. Eli Apple is continuing to get better. I think the way that he's been playing in the running game and the run support on the outside has been phenomenal. Thompson as well. I think all of them have played well and will continue to grow, not only with the amount of reps that they get and the experience, but and the ability of Steve Spagnuolo being able to be a great coordinator to do different things schematically, you know, to disguise coverages, to be more flexible in the way that he plays them.
E, the chosen one, also wants to know, can you touch on the similarities of both these teams trying to establish the run in this game? Listen, I think the difference here is that you've got a Washington team that has not really had a lot of success. You know, that's a team, in my opinion, that they try to run the ball. They try to establish Matt Jones, right? But
yeah.
it hasn't been happening. Also, he's got some fumble issues. Where on the opposite side, especially in the first game, you saw a lot of success with Rashad Jennings. And also, let me ask you this. Like, I thought it was going to be a heavy dose of Rashad Jennings. Shane Vereen for a change of pace back. But also, we were going to get a very, like, maybe a 70-30 dose of Darkwa. But that hasn't been the case.
That has not been the case yet.
But that's what I thought going in. We
talked about that, of getting him some reps as a guy who can get downhill, one cut back, and play physical and continue to move the pile. And that's yet to be determined. We know that right now Rashad Jennings has a thumb, but he said he's going to practice and he's going to play in the game. We will continue to see how it goes as the season progresses.
All right, let's head back out to our phone lines, 201-939-4513. We go to Rhode Island. Jeff wants to pop on board. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon, Anita and David. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Doing great, Jeff.
That's good. David, I have a couple for you, okay? Would it be fair to say, in your time playing for the Giants, that the running game was more successful with a traditional two-back set? You know, in other words, were they blocking back in there? And is the reason that we're not doing that today simply because we don't have the person to be a blocking back / fullback? Or is it because that the coach wants to have more tight ends and wide receivers on the field at any one time? And I'll hang up and I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you very much.
I think it's a product of the scheme, and I think it's a product of what the personnel and the roster is of this offense. I think everybody had high expectations for this offense, feeling like there was going to be a Will Johnson, that there was going to be a Nikita Whitlock. To have that power running game to play smash mouth and get downhill and have that power presence. But at the same time, if we've looked at the past seasons from when the time Coach McAdoo took over until now, I mean, it's 65% to 70% three wide receivers. So I think that it's more of a zone scheme where it's a one back, where it's a spread offense, where it's predicated on getting the ball out fast, getting receivers running, you know, either the running backs coming out of the backfield or getting receivers into quick routes that are almost like an extension of the running game. So I think it's a combination of both, Jeff.
All right. Is Jeff gone?
Okay. I think Jeff hung up.
All right. We go to Jersey Chris. Jersey Chris wants to talk about the Redskins. Welcome in, Chris. Line one.
Chris.
Good afternoon. How is everybody tonight?
Great. Great, Chris. How are you?
Anita, I'm sorry you have to park so far away from the private park.
Oh, man, it's brutal.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. This place is hopping today. I mean, hopping.
Thank God you're not a diva. You're a Giant fan, my dear. God bless you. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
We're ready.
All right, here we go. We talked last week about the Giants' accountability, responsibility, their lanes. You remember that conversation last week,
yeah.
Mr. Deal?
Yes.
Okay. They fumbled. They didn't protect the brick. That's what they're supposed to do. I'm a little disappointed in all the fumbles, but again, they persevered. We probably would have lost this game if it was last year. And you have to give a lot of kudos. They really came back from it. Now, my last comment is about Cousins. Last year, a lot of people, especially announcers throughout the league, and you know who they are, were putting Mr. Cousins on the pedestal. Now, there's no such thing as a second-class citizen in all football players. I get it. But Mr. Cousins, in my opinion, played against some real shaggy secondaries last year. We lost a lot of guys. Dallas didn't have anything great back there. The Eagles didn't have anything great. And that's only in our division, not the rest of the league. I personally agree with you that if we put pressure on Cousins, with all the turmoil down there in Washington, I think we have a real good shot of really devastating them in their offense. Yeah, they got some good, they have some great offensive tools down there. They do. But with that said, we could rattle this guy, and we really can do some damage down there and really put him in an 0-3 situation. And with that said, Mr. Keenan Robinson, you know, he may, Anita, you brought him up earlier. You know, sports figures subliminally say this stuff all the time in sports. They don't actually say what's really in their gut, but subliminally that's what they're saying. And in baseball they say, we are our own destinies. We have to go and win every game. And if other teams, you know, lose it, it's not our problem. But when it comes to the point where they don't win all their games and the other teams win and they get in, they say, you know what? That's subliminally saying, a little falter, a little down and out. You couldn't rise to the occasion kind of thing. So, Keenan Robinson, it's all a bunch of fodder, I think. It's all about the sportsmanship and all the talk. And you know what? You got to go on the field, Mr. Deal, and prove what you have to prove. With that said, guys, thanks a lot. And get in earlier next time, and he's going to get a good parking spot, okay?
Thank you very much, Jersey Chris. And I, like I said, I agree. This offense that Jay Gruden runs in Washington is all predicated on being able to take shots and play action. The one thing I would be concerned about as a Giants fan, what do the Washington Redskins have on the offensive side of the ball that is a threat?
Well, actually, A.J. Marshall is asking, you know, in that Redskins passing attack, you know,
yes.
What do you expect? Well, I mean, let's break it down one by one. First of all, Jordan Reed is just
Jordan Reed.
Yeah,
Vernon Davis.
Unbelievable.
What have the Giants linebackers struggled to do? Cover tight ends out of the.
Yeah, but Vernon Davis doesn't scare me. But Jordan Reed does. Dude's unbelievable.
I believe me, I understand that.
He's
but I would take both of them and be seriously accountable for both because number
Jonathan Casillas, we're in agreement here. Jonathan Casillas, our best cover linebacker. So I mean, it's safe to assume, right, going into this game that this is going to be a really, really big game for him. Colby Fleener.
Yeah, drops, and even though.
Yeah.
I mean, Drew Brees wanted to get him the football.
And look what Jason Witten actually put up some good numbers against the Giants in week one.
Yep.
So, yeah. So
it's
always
been the Achilles heel.
That's going to be a tough matchup. Keep in mind, Josh Dotson, who, by the way, I felt Josh Dotson should have been the number one wide receiver taken out of the draft. I can't even believe that he dropped to Washington and they were able to draft him when they did. But he's been dealing with an Achilles injury.
Yep.
He finally got some action last week, and this kid is spectacular. So don't sleep on him.
No.
I'm more so for me in regard to threats offensively for the Giants. Jordan Reed, DeSean Jackson, Josh Doctson, and then Pierre Garçon. Pierre Garçon is nothing more than a possession receiver at this point.
And I watched that whole Washington Redskins Dallas Cowboys game and. What were they doing? They were using DeSean Jackson as a decoy to split the safeties, to split and open up things for Doctson. So he is a red zone threat. So he is definitely somebody that needs to be watched in this game.
He does. And then we were talking about the rushing attack a little bit earlier. I mean, it's not like their rushing attack is anything spectacular, but I think Gruden goes into this game saying, it's fine with us.
Yeah.
We're gonna pass the ball. We've got so many weapons offensively. We're gonna pass the ball. Try to stop us.
I understand that, but you know that they offensively they have to run the football because in order for Kirk Cousins to get shots downfield and to be successful in play action, which is his best part of his game, they have to run the football. So this is going to be a great matchup for the Giants and the Giants defense because of the sheer fact they've done so well the last 2 weeks of stopping the run. So if they can shut down Matt Jones and the Washington Redskins rushing attack, I mean, it plays into the favor of the Giants defense and the Giants team so well because that's when you will get Kirk Cousins to force throws to try hitting that deep ball, which isn't his forte or the best aspect of his game.
201-939-4513. That's how you get on board. Anita Marks and, of course, David Deal with you on this Wednesday. Let's go to line four. Bob's calling in from Pennsylvania. Bob, you're up.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi.
Doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. I just want to thank I like to always thank ex-Giants if I ever get lucky enough to talk to them. I got to thank you, David, for being a huge part of both of those Super Bowls.
Thank you very much.
How you doing today, Anita?
Great. Besides the fact I had to walk 2 miles to get into the building, yeah.
Well, that's okay. I just walked the dog, so that's it's okay.
Try five, my friend. Try five.
Well, no, I don't want to try five.
Okay.
Listen, I don't call that often. I'm in Western Pennsylvania here, and I listen every day. So just give me a few minutes today. Before I hang up, I wanted to mention I have a question about Will Johnson. I also want to make a Charlie comment, but I just wanted to vent a little saying this is a huge game this week. We could bury the Redskins, and let's see what we're made of here. 0-4. In turnover ratio, and to be 2-0, this is a very refreshing. It makes the week go better when you win a game instead of losing that game. You just go all week with it. And I actually live in Steel the Country. I go to road games. Went to Dallas this year. Sat around Sterling Shepard's family. All sat around me, which was pretty cool. And I just wanted to say, Ben McAdoo actually is not that far, his hometown from where I live, and I'm not going to the Steeler game this year. I go to road games, but it's kind of in Steeler country. It's tough. But I wanted to ask you guys, is Will Johnson eligible to come back this year from IR?
No.
No, because they put him on before the year start. Okay. I don't know. He was a good blocker.
It would be one thing if he was on the PUP list, not the IR.
Why did they do that? Because he was a good blocker. I thought he was going to be a huge part of the running game this year.
Obviously, his injury was that significant.
That's serious.
And at that point in the year, and when you're doing things to align and get your roster together when you're going to 53,
right,
you have to place it in priority and what positions are in need in that regard.
Right. If we could get a little bit of a running game going, I think that things could be special this year. But to be making the mistakes, losing the turnover battle, and still be 2-0 when we really haven't fired all our bullets yet, I think that's a good sign. I mean, look at the other years before this. We'd be talking 0-2 right now. And I'm psyched for this year. I'm psyched for this game this Sunday. I go to all the games. I live like 4.5 hours away, but I go to all the home games and some road games. And I just wanted to put out there, you know, I know people always knocking Charlie, but, you know, I got people sitting around me at the stadium knocking Eli Manning. So as far as Charlie goes, I think he cares. And that's all that matters. And I think they hit a home run this year.
Has Charlie been taking a beating?
No, he does take a beating unfairly, I think.
No, recently.
He was trying to address an issue that's a concern, the offensive line. And I wanted to put out there, I have one ticket left. He could be my guest for December 10th against Detroit if he was if he could make the trek from from Maine, he could have the ticket. But I just wanted to say he cares. And before this year, I think we hit a home run on the draft this year, but before this year, one third-round pick or lower from 2008 on, Mario Manningham has contributed at all. So I think I think he did a good job this year, but his drafting has been substandard. And I think Charlie's a little bit right on that, and just hoping this offensive line is going to gel, and maybe Will Beatty will eventually be that right tackle. But just wanted to throw that out there. I just wanted to say thanks to David and Anita. I think you do a great job. And
thank you.
Just wanted to say hello.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Really appreciate it.
Who's Charlie?
Charlie is a guy who calls in. And it's interesting. I haven't heard from Charlie in a while, but I do two shows during the off season.
Okay.
Because our entire crew here is obviously here during the season. But Charlie has been a big proponent of the offensive line getting better. And he, at times, has called out Jerry Reese and the organization in regard to their lack of aggressiveness in doing so. Now, let's talk about what's going on, like in real life, like right now.
Right now,
okay?
Yeah.
Marshall Newhouse dealing with a calf. He's not practicing today. Also, Rashad Jennings, is he
thumb?
Is he limited?
He said he's playing.
I do believe that Rashad's going to play.
I do too.
But the big question mark is what happens on that right side of the ball. Bobby Hart spoke to the media yesterday. Dude's got confidence. He's got some swagger. He's saying he's going to beat out Will Beatty to start in place of Marshall Newhouse.
And that's the competition between him and Will Beatty at the right tackle position if Newhouse can't go. And you know, you hope that confidence, if that's the case, fares well, and he goes out there and performs and earns the position.
So who do you think is going to win it?
I mean, it's a great question because we really haven't seen Will
Beatty.
Have you seen Will Beatty really perform in practice?
I don't think. I'll be honest with you. I don't think he's in shape. I don't think he's in football shape. I think he got in here too late. I don't think he's in football shape to compete or to play. I think he needs a few more weeks.
Not to mention, even though it's the same offense, the verbiage, the terminology, the way that things go change from year to year. So it's a lot, especially since he did come in late. So
could he be active and not start?
Absolutely, he could be active without a doubt.
Exactly.
Based upon if Newhouse goes or not, and if you need an emergency situation for him to play. The one thing that I said from the get-go that could be one of the things to help everything and would help the running game is to go jumbo. Go two tight ends. Go with Larry Donnell and Will Beatty as the other tight end and run the football.
All right, let's go to Lynn. He's calling in from Columbia, Maryland. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great,
Lynn. How are you?
Good. I think I know we're going to have to play better offensively on Sunday.
We're
going to win this game. I think the key, David, I know, everybody watches Eli, and I love watching him too. And everybody's going to be watching Odell against, Josh Norman. And that's probably why the parking lot's crowded, Anita. Everybody wants an interview with Beckham.
Hands, and today's the day he talks.
Today's the day.
Odell.
There you go.
Eli talks on Tuesday. Odell talks on Wednesday.
There you go. David, here's what I'm going to be watching. Relative to the offense, I'm expecting a huge game out of Western Richburg. 3-4 defense. Quite frankly, that front three on the Redskins is barely NFL caliber, David. Their depth chart has Cullen Jenkins as the starter at nose tackle.
Yes, because Colston's out. He's out for the season with an injury.
Yeah. I think the key to... To me, David, and correct me if I'm wrong or give me your comment on this. Whenever you're playing a 3-4 defense, the key is, first and foremost, if you want some semblance of a run game, which I think we're going to have, I'm looking for 90 to 100 yards. Just slow down the pass rush. It doesn't have to be dynamic. Just enough to slow down the pass rush. I mean, they're going to come after Eli.
Oh, yeah.
David... that's the last 10 years that Eli's been in the league. That's what the Redskins do. They come after Eli. They believe they like to force him into mistakes. Third and long, he'll make a mistake. I think that's their strategy. Corner blitzes, safety blitzes, those linebackers, and they got some quick linebackers, particularly on the outside.
Yep.
But I think if we're going to get the 90 to 100 yards and open things up for Eli and have them at least respect the running game, we got to control that nose tackle. And I'm looking for Western Richburg to be able to do that. I think if we can control that nose tackle, the run game's going to flourish, David. That front three is not very good. What do you think about that?
I agree with you because
Lynn,
that is
– thank you for the phone call.
That's the whole thing when you're going up against a 3-4 defense is edging the defense at the nose tackle because you have the double bubble at the guard position. So it gives you space to get the inside zone game going. In regards to them getting after Eli and attacking the quarterback, whoever is at right tackle has got to do a great job up against Ryan Kerrigan. Because if we remember, Ryan Kerrigan last year had 2 sacks in this game, and he is the one that can contribute. Not to mention, on the other side of the ball, Trent Murphy is playing his best football in the NFL right now. I can say that without a doubt watching film, and he's playing with power. He has 1.5 sacks right now. And then they rotate with number 94, Preston Smith, in there as well. The one thing that they did to try to disrupt the Dallas Cowboys zone running scheme, a lot of movement by the defensive line, a lot of slants, a lot of inside movements. And when was the last time that the Giants faced that and had problems? Preseason against the Buffalo Bills. So they need to make sure that they're prepared for the movement and the stunts by the Washington Redskins defensive line and the passing game. Both of those tackles are going to be challenged this week.
What's your thoughts on D'Angelo Hall moving to safety? I know it happened late last year, but he's still kind of, you know, getting acclimated. This is something that a lot of people would like to see. Let's say, for example, Darrelle Revis
eventually move
to safety.
You know what? It actually allows D'Angelo to play more free, and it gives them more flexibility, knowing that they have a versatile safety who's played on the outside one-on-one, but knows the intricacies and the ins and outs of coverage as well.
Let's go to Randy. He's calling in. Welcome into Big Lou Kickoff Live, Randy. How you doing?
Hi, Anita. Hello, David.
Hi, how are you, Randy?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me on Big Blue Kickoff Live again. I appreciate it. I want to just bring up two things real quick. A lot of people are forgetting what $204 million can do. And that just goes to show you, you know, how much that giant organization really does a great job, coaches and everybody. Everyone had Jerry Reese's head, you know, on a stick, so to speak. And this guy comes out there and pulls, you know, some major moves. And I just want to say this. I love Coach McAdoo, but I want to say this. Coach Tom Coughlin, I wonder if he had the $204 million to spend for this team, what that guy would do. And I just wanted to pay homage to you know, what he's done as a coach in the past, and also what a great job Jerry Reese is doing, you know, what did this year so far. And then I have one other comment other than that.
What's your other comment? We're waiting for you.
Well, Paul Perkins, let's get him in.
I know. Believe me, I am a firm.
What is going on?
Anita knows I am a firm believer in Paul Perkins, but the big thing that he needs to do, hold on to the football, which he had fumbles in the preseason, and understand and learn how important it is not to only be a running back, but to be able to pick up protections as a running back.
Right.
Because if you cannot do that, and if they don't trust you as a pass protector, as a running back, it's hard for you to get on the field.
I get it. I just want this kid to have a little bit of experience, because longer term, I love Rashad Jennings. He is not the answer there at running back. New Orleans Darkwood does a great job as well. This kid has the opportunity to be very explosive. I just don't want to see him be a Matt Jones from last year or a Devontae Booker, so to speak, from this year with the first carry fumble, and then you don't hear from the guy again.
Yeah.
Let's try to give him a chance. So, Dave, I just want to say thank you very much for what you did. I wanted to say thank you as well to you for everything that you did for the Giants. I'll be listening. Anita, I was the one that called about Ryan Nassib a while ago, and I appreciate you having my back, by the way, when I called up about that.
About what?
And about Ryan Nassib.
Ryan Nassib.
Yeah, that big thing. It ended up spoiling into a whole session, but you had my back, and I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for the phone call. I'm still the president of the Ryan Nassib fan club. I know a lot of people jumped off that ship, and that's fine. I think it was more a mental thing with him this preseason than anything else, but it is what it is. What's up with Paul Perkins shorts, though, by the way? He's got he runs around here with the little Dave Stockton.
Short shorts.
He runs John Stockton. He walks around here with the John Stockton shorts.
I guess people like to show off their quads.
He does show them off. Because he's a Cali boy. Is that a Cali thing?
I have no idea, but you remember the what were they? Softball shorts? You remember the little ones? Yeah.
I used to wear those.
They also call those chubbies, the short shorts.
Come clean. Used to.
What?
Used to wear those.
No,
I used to
never.
I used to wear the little dolphin shorts when I was.
Never. I was never a jean short guy
whatsoever.
Wait a minute.
Let me finish my sentence.
Okay.
I used to wear the little dolphin shorts when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old.
Okay.
I'm coming clean.
I know. I'm telling
you.
You
know the little dolphin shorts the little Hooter girls wear?
Yeah. I know exactly which ones you're talking about. I've always been way too big in my life from the time that I was born
until now. You never wore those softball shorts?
No way.
I also used to wear Jordache jeans.
There you go.
I had every color in Vans. At my Vans. I had every color members only jacket.
Members only.
No, I got the IOU
sweatshirts and the, what were those, hyper colors?
You.
The
yes.
Hyper color shirts? That's so funny.
Right?
Blast from the past.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
All right, let's end the show strong. We go to Washington. Brian wants to jump on board. Brian.
Hello?
Brian, what's up?
What you got?
Hey, guys. I'm just so honored to be able to end up the show here. I got two quick points.
Okay.
First is I want to give major big ups to Jerry Reese. I think that when you look at this team, you know, we say it all the time, and I think we sort of lost sight of it. Defense wins championships. The previous caller said something about $200 spending spree, which is a point I wanted to make. But when you look at all the guys you let go, you know, he still has us great in a great position financially as far as what we can do moving forward. And I think people lose sight of this as far as him making decisions on talent, that he has a business he's running as well, along with the, obviously, ownership. And we're in great shape in addition to having that, you know, that spending spree that we had. And then Eli Apple pick as well. And it's, I know it's not just Jerry Reese, the whole team, but I can remember the eternally negative one calling in and saying that that was a panic pick. And now that's looking like a really good pick for us. And so finally, the last point I want to make, and this is really about the offensive line. I'd like David to speak on this. I feel like our offensive line, it's not as bad as people want to say, because you can game plan against it. And if you look at it, Eli really has pretty much been upright. So I just wanted to get your opinion with your experience about, you know, just from an experienced person's standpoint about what's going on with that offensive line. And as, you know, from your perspective, where we are, and is it really as much of a bad spot as it is? All things considered, you know, if you had to manage resources and improve the defense, how do you feel as far as what we did with the offensive line and where we are and how we can manage that situation?
Well, I think the big thing that you noticed from the Dallas game to the game against the New Orleans Saints that changes everything is when you turn over the football. It changes the way that you're able to go out there and perform and control the time of possession and control the game offensively. And the biggest thing is having a balanced attack. The reason why the Giants up against the Cowboys were able to do it was 28 passes to 24 runs. Yeah, it's not the amount of plays that you want to have, but having that balance and being able to run the ball successfully when you do get it really allows you to break down and wear down a defense and take games over once you start getting into the fourth quarter. When you turn over the football, it changes the whole dynamic of a game plan and your ability to stay on schedule with what you're trying to do as a team. So the biggest thing for this group is for this game against the Washington Redskins, it is all about production on first and second down. Because if they can get production on first and second down, they will keep themselves out of third and nine pluses, which play right into the favor of what the Washington Redskins want to do. And they want to be aggressive in those downs and distances where they can blitz, but they can also let loose anything they want. As long as the Giants stay in those third and manageable situations where it's third and 4 to 6, it allows you to do so many more things as an offense. And I think as the group continues to grow, we'll see what happens now with Jeremy Newhouse. But I think as the group continues to grow, it will get better as a cohesive unit. But if Newhouse doesn't go, whoever it is, Bobby Hart or Will Beattie at that right tackle position, they're going to have to fight for 4-plus quarters, because this is a game and a team where Ryan Kerrigan has had a lot of success against the Giants team.
So, and just summarizing some of the top storylines as we finish up this show, practice is about to end. Ben McAdoo will make himself available to the media at 1:30. You can catch this fine young man on MSG at 2 o'clock with your...
Paulie D, press conference live.
There you go. And locker room opens up at 1:45. Some of the top storylines, obviously, is the news coming out of Washington. Britt McHenry from ESPN is reporting that Josh Norman will mirror Odell Beckham Jr. throughout the entire game on Sunday, except when he lines up in the slot. So that will be, I'm sure, the first question asked when we get in that locker room later on this afternoon. Also, keep an eye on the battle, what's taking place at the right tackle position. Will it be Bobby Hart? Will it be Will starting at that right tackle position? And, of course, fingers crossed that all goes well with Rashad Jennings and his thumb. And we both anticipate him to be active and to play against Washington come Sunday afternoon. Hey, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. I believe it's Paul Dottino and Howard Cross tomorrow right here high noon on Giants.com. Have a great afternoon.
Day.